Welcome to another edition of the Dementia Care Partner Talk Show. Now, here's dementia care expert Tifa Snow and your host, Greg Phelps.
Hello and welcome to the Dementia Care Partners podcast. I'm your host, Greg Phelps, along with dementia care expert Tifa Snow. And Tifa, don't usually sort of go into this area, but a promising new Alzheimer drug may soon be on the market. But it's all the developers have made it out to be. More than 55 million people around the world have dementia, a group of diseases that affect people, so, you know, all the usual stuff that we have to say. But there is currently, to the best of our knowledge, no cure. However, there are a few Food and Drug Administration things that they're talking about. This one is called lecanemab, and some people are excited about this. Some people are not excited about this. We're not paid by a drug company. We're not paid not to talk about drugs. So what are your thoughts on this? Because I've seen from one side to the other, yay, we've got a breakthrough, and people going, nah, it's not going to fix the damage. So
Okay. So I'm of the belief that a point and a bit on a scale over 6 months, keep, you know, maintaining, not losing as much as people would lose off the med by 1 point out of 18, I think it was, isn't enough to really get me real excited, especially when there's a risk of little strokes or bigger strokes or even death in a few cases. They had a stroke and the person has died in a few of these. To me, it raises the question about how, number one, safe all this is, and number two, what's the point? Because what I'm hearing identified is not quality of life. Like, I can do things that I wasn't able to do before. I have sustained my level of function, and that made a difference. So we are, as far as I can tell from any of the data they've released, and I mean, it's limited what they've released. What has been released talks about points on a scale, not someone's evaluation of the quality of their life, nor their abilities that were present or absent. And that to me is like, wait, what? And it's, we're talking millions of dollars will be thrown at this. And yet there's been no money thrown at, well, music might be able to do that. You know, working with people who are skillful might be able to do this. I mean, the problem is, it's like, this is like some magic. And yet we've looked at beta amyloid before, and we're not even sure that's a causative agent versus an indicator of change. And there are some individuals that can have high degrees of beta amyloid and not have any change in functional ability. I don't know, Greg. To me, it seems like, man, I would really want to understand what I'm buying before I put someone through it. I would really want you to know you're going to have to go in. This is an IV. This is a transfusion you have to get once a month. So you got to go in. And there's a high probability you also have to have a PET scan. And there are risks associated with it. And it's actually not even, it's not stopping the disease. It's not reversing the disease. It might be slowing the progression of the disease for a while. We don't even know for how long that change would last or if it will. But it's like, oh, wow. And it's like, that's interesting. So that's my take on it. Is like, I don't see why there's that. And, you know, there are a lot of scientists in Europe that agree with me, and there's scientists in the US that agree with me. There are other folks that are really excited because at least it's something. But, you know, to say that this is the big wonder drug, I just, that's so overstates it for me. And it gives people false hope in a quick fix instead of maybe let's buckle down here.
And we want to make it perfectly clear that if something comes along and fixes the problems, we're going to be their biggest fans.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, even if we could really, yeah. I mean, if we, but I mean, the other thing is it's only for early state Alzheimer's. It doesn't do anything, or we don't know anything about what it might do for Lewy body or for vascular or for frontal temporal dementia. It doesn't have a role in any of those. It doesn't have a role in mid to late state Alzheimer's. It doesn't have a role in mixed picture, as far as we know. I mean, it's only for this very select group, and yet part of that group is the beta amyloid, the people who have APOE4, they might be the one who have two alleles, might be the highest risk for the little strokes. So it's like, wait a minute, or the strokes. So it's this complicated, for me more than anything. And I'm not a naysayer. I'm just like, I think this is a lot of hype. I've got to say, this seems like an awful lot of hype for what I'm seeing and hearing in reality, what it's for. And I don't see the devotion to creating care programs that serve people well and maybe could make that same kind of difference if we didn't just warehouse people and lock doors and not give enough staff or enough staff training and or even in, you know, ALs, independent living or in community life. Are we supporting our people well enough, or are we letting it go and then going, oh, look what happened?
I think you stumbled on the key to this. There's hype and there's hope. And it hurts, you know, that I think that's what it is.
One letter. That one letter makes a big difference, huh? For us.
Yeah. Well, Tifa, we don't have any good news on that front. I mean, you know, people are studying, there are people that are smarter than us, the scientists, and maybe one day they'll come across it, but today we have to deal with reality.
For me, one of the tricky parts is I don't want people to keep looking at beta amyloid if beta amyloid buildup is not really the place we should be looking. And that's concerning because it could be, I thought we were getting to the idea of glial cells issues and we're moving away from that. I thought we were in a new thing on the cascade. And that's sort of like, why are we going back here again? I thought, I don't understand. I do sort of actually, but we'll stop there.
So Tifa, best advice for families at this point is that there's not going to be a pill that's going to cure mom or dad tomorrow. So they should basically learn some skills. And who can we turn to for that? So you've got some people that we can talk to.
Yeah, I think if we are going to acknowledge, okay, if we have significant symptoms, there's a high probability we are right at the very end point at which, to be honest with you, this drug would even be tried. It should be tried anyway, because that's not the group it's even meant for. And if that's the case, we probably do need some new ways of looking at abilities and what's retained and what we're going to do about it, what the environment might need to be. So we have a number of groups within our set, but we also have other people out there, independent practitioners who are out there that might be able to be helpful on how you're going to live your life to the best of your ability. And there are researchers out there looking at some of the best things we can do, whether it be music or horticulture or pet therapy or animal assisted work, or whether it's, you know, environmental modifications. We know that there are better ways to help people live and to optimize their performance. And I'm not so sure it's going to be the medications first line. So that's what I know here at PAC and elsewhere. I think figuring out how we're going to live together and live well is what we should be doing.
Tifa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
You've been listening to the Dementia Care Partners podcast, brought to you by Positive Approach to Care. For more information on dementia care and training, go to tifasnow.com.
If you're signed into your Spotify account, we'd love to get your feedback. How? Click into the episode details and look over the episode question and poll. Send us your comments and vote so we can answer your questions and better tailor this content to your needs. We look forward to hearing from you.